How many of you know God is good? Even when you haven't been. Not you particularly. I mean, you got all downtrodden all of a sudden. I wasn't talking to anybody specifically. I was looking right over you. Even when we weren't good, even when we weren't faithful, even when we weren't at our best, he was all of those things, faithful at his best. Glory to God. Always been good to us. Hadn't he been so good to you? Here we are coming into another year. Got breath in my lungs. Go ahead and take a big breath. Glory to God. He gives us the breath in our lungs. Everything, these seats that we're sitting on, these lives that we're living, the grace and the mercy that we've experienced thus far, all of those things. And his mercies are new every morning. You got up this morning and the potential for your life to be better than it was yesterday was already there. And tomorrow, guess what? It's a new day. And God is the same, and there's always the potential that we're, whatever it is we've been believing God for, whatever our current circumstance is, that is subject to change based on what God has told us. And that's good news, because he doesn't change, right? And because he doesn't change, then we can believe that whatever he's told us will come to pass. Even the things that you haven't experienced yet are all subject to change based on what he has spoken to our hearts. Glory to God. You know, every morning when we get up, we just, what is today? January the 4th, 5th, 4th? We're just 4 days in. We got a lot of time for God to show himself faithful again this year. Lots of blessings. Lots of opportunities to reach lost people. Lots of opportunities for those family members that you've been believing God for who aren't born again right now. Lots of opportunities for you to go and tell of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a healer. He is a savior. He is a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and he is a soon coming king. Lots of opportunities. That ought to make you happy. Glory to God. It makes me happy. If I didn't preach you happy already, well, I don't know if I'll be able to do it or not. I want to continue and try to finish talking to you about something that the last time I ministered, I was sharing, staying anchored to hope, a confident expectation. And, you know, when we started, the last time we talked about it, we talked about the season that we're in. This is a season where, as believers, because we know that Jesus came to the earth, that it's a season of hope with regard to us celebrating the blessed hope of Jesus coming into the earth, that he lived a sinless life, that he paid the price, died on the cross, and rose again. We celebrate that, and it gives us hope. But then we leave behind the story of Christmas, and we enter into a new beginning because we hit a new year. And every year, you know, oftentimes people make resolutions, or they sit down and they do vision boards. They make some type of decision that this year we're starting out right, and next year will be different. This year will be different than it was last year. One of the things I did this year, I don't always do this. You know, sometimes you get hung up reading the same stuff over and over. But last year, I read through the Bible chronologically. I just wanted to read it in the order of the writings. And so that's what I did last year. And, you know, it was interesting to read it that way. There were days, you know, I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss a single day. There was a couple of days that the guy who was reading it read it twice as fast as normal, because I would hit that double speed. Anybody ever use that? I don't like to do that very much because I don't like people talking that fast to me. I'm from the country. I like people to talk slow, you know, pour slow like gravy. Okay. But in this season that we're in, and we think about hope, I know sometimes hope gets a bad rap. Because we misunderstand what hope is. And I may not be talking to you, but your seat neighbor may have the wrong idea about hope. I grew up in, you know, Pentecostal churches. You say, how Pentecostal? From the top of my granny's hairdo to the bottom of her long skirt Pentecostal. We were Pentecostal kids, you know, growing up. I used to be ashamed of being Pentecostal when I was a kid. Because the Baptist church didn't act the way that the church did that I went to when I would go with my friends. They acted different, more reserved. Nobody shouted or ran at their church. And so I didn't want to bring my friends to my church, but I'm not embarrassed at all about it now. You know, somebody asks you in Walmart if you're one of those tongue talkers. You might say, yeah, you want to hear? That'll stop them real quick. But growing up in the Pentecostal church that I was in, sometimes they would talk about hope and they would say that it was somehow opposite of faith because, you know, if you believe faith and faith is now, the modern translation of hope isn't one that means what the Bible translation, well, the word in the scripture, it means a confident expectation rather than the way that I was looking that up. I was curious, how did that come about? And basically it was when the English language, as we've modernized the English language, it used to mean, so like if you're reading a King James Bible and it says hope, it used to mean the word hope itself, exactly what the dictionary definition is, which is a confident expectation. But so many people use it now as saying that I sure wish that would happen. And so if you're not careful, if you don't help people to understand that, then they'll just step away from hope altogether. But you know, the Bible says this, now abideth these, what, faith, hope, and love. So evidently, if it abides, then it must bring some value. Isn't that right? There must be some value to hope. And so the hope that I'm talking about is a confident expectation, a Bible hope that, you know, what do you do after believing God? That you stand in faith. Because again, we understand what now faith is. When is faith? Now faith is. So you could say then, where is my faith in relation to my hope? I could say that now faith is, meaning the moment that I receive the promise, I go into belief. I believe it. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. And there's my faith. But any of you that have been walking with the Lord very long know that there have been times where you read something in the scripture, you say, you know what? I'm going to take that by faith. I receive it by faith. It's mine by faith. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But there was no poof and it manifests. Say it was, you were a Rhema student at one time. This will be 20 years for me. I'm going to do my 20-year reunion this year. And I'm just as thin and agile as I was back then. Okay, well, I mean, I'm still here. I've expanded my ministry a little bit, actually. You believe faith is now, and I believe it, but there are some things, you know, if you're believing for tuition. I believed before I saw the tuition in the account. And that required me to have a confident expectation or a hope that what I had set my faith on, that I believed, was just a matter of time before the current circumstance changed to line up with what God said when he said I would meet, that he would meet my needs. Right? The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs through his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So he will do the providing, and I believe it because the word says it. That's faith. Now faith is. But I've never had the Lord rain money out of heaven. And I just go out and, you know, pull my shirt out and start catching it. Because there's some time that's involved because God moves on people's hearts. And if you didn't listen to the last time that I taught on this, I shared a story about how when I was a student, the Lord laid it on my heart to provide for the need of another student, and I was delayed in my response time. And literally, when they released their faith, it was probably almost the same day that the Lord had laid it on our hearts to provide this need for them, but we made them wait for it. Not deliberately, we just let life get in the way, and we spent the money that we had that we could have provided for them. And they waited on that, but they released their faith together. They stood together. They believed that God would meet their needs. They called in that need. They held hands. They prayed. They were in faith. But then it required them to stay in a confident expectation that the thing that they had put their faith on, they had to hope for that thing to be manifest in their life, right? Now, there are some things that we don't have to wait for. I heard Brother Hagin say it like this one time. He said, you know, you don't have to wait for your salvation to be made manifest. There are certain things that Jesus paid for in the atonement that belong to you right now. And so I don't have to wait. I don't kick the can down the road for those things. But there are other things that you know as well as I do that we've had to wait for those things to be manifest. I remember Brother Hagin particularly telling the story about how he said that, I didn't say it in tones of arrogance, but he said to the Lord, he said, "Dear Lord Jesus, if you told me that I didn't believe, I'd have to say that you were a liar because I do believe." He had believed his word. He said, and the Lord said, "You do believe as far as you know." But at one point he told him, he said, "Well, people would be up at this time of the day." And it required him to act on those things that he believed. And hope will cause us to act. That confident expectation is what causes us to act on the thing that we believe. That we'll step out on those things that we believe. Because I believe it, then I act differently. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes we act like that's harder for us to understand than what it really is. But how many of you, just a few months ago, how old is Lucy now? Our grandbaby is, almost 8 months? Almost 10 months. Oh, so for 2 months, I took a nap. Evidently. I know that's terrible. I know how old my kids are. I'm working on my grandbaby, but she's been around for 10 months. Before we had her, I can remember going to the store and buying things, buying clothes to give to her, our granddaughter Lucy. We wanted to give those to her. I bought her like a little stuffed animal, bought her a book. We bought her a children's Bible, different things like that. And if somebody would have seen me in the store and said, "What are you doing?" And I would have said, "Oh, I'm buying some stuff for my grandbaby." And they would have said, "Oh, do you have any pictures?" Well, I wouldn't have. She wasn't born yet. But we have a word for that. If they said, "Well, do you have any pictures of her?" I'd say, "No, our daughter is expecting." There was an assurance because the doctor said, "Well, there's a baby." But I didn't have any new baby smell. I didn't have any old baby smell. You know, babies aren't always smelling like baby powder. Just so you know. But we were expecting, our hope was in what the doctor had said, and our daughter, we would say that she's expecting, right? The biblical hope, because it means a confident expectation, I want to look at this scripture again in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. Bible hope, it's not wishing, it's knowing. Wishing is uncertain. Hope is anchored. It's what helped Abraham and Sarah to stand in faith. It says in verse 12, it says that you not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now I want to stop there for just a second because I want to say this. Faith and patience, well, if faith is now, then the patience isn't required for the faith. It's required for the confident expectation to stand. Doesn't that mean that there's going to be, like, if I have to have patience, doesn't that mean that there's going to be some time that elapses? You know, Pastor Greg and I were talking in the back a while ago, and he was talking about sitting out by the fire and eating brats. Any of you like brats? Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I've had some brats so good, if I got one of them up on my forehead, just a little of the juice, I think my tongue would beat me half to death getting to it. We were talking about, that's a beautiful word picture, I know, there you go. We were talking about grilling brats and how you can see the juice on the inside. If you don't poke them, if you don't bust them on them, you can see the juice bubbling on the inside of it and stuff. There's an anticipation of taking that thing off the grill and getting that thing in your mouth. Before you even take the bite, you know what it's going to taste like. There's an expectancy, right? But it requires patience to wait for that point when it's done, when it's cooked. It means some time has to elapse. I can't just put it on the grill and then take it right back off and it's ready. There's some time that elapses. So sometimes in our faith walk, there's some patience that's required as we confidently expect whatever it is that God has promised us to come to pass. And so it says this, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. There was God's promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his name, saying, I will certainly bless you and I'll multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have a great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is an anchor, a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. And something else that we said to you was there are lots of things that you can put your hope in. You can put your hope in the negative. The scripture says here specifically, this hope, what, this hope in the promise of God, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, meaning that there are others, maybe strong, but not trustworthy. This is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Well, what are our souls? That's our mind, our will, and our emotions. You know, faith is of the heart. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. Isn't that what the scripture, Mark 11 says, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. Faith is of the heart. Hope is an anchor for our soul. So it's why many years ago, you probably remember Brother Hagin saying this, that you could have, he said, I'm convinced of this. You can read about it in one of his books. It's got a lot of his sermons in it. It's called Classic Sermons. You can read this specific thing, and he's made the statement more times than that, but he said that I'm convinced you can have a heart full of faith and a head full of doubt. You can have faith in your heart. Faith is of the heart, but you can have, why? Well, the devil can't do anything about your born again spirit. You have a binding covenant with Almighty God, but he brings thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to your soul. You get information in your soul from lots of places. Oftentimes, when you're trying to believe God, you've got a heart full of faith. The enemy will see to it that you've got a head full of doubt. He'll tell you every reason why you're not going to make it. He'll tell you every reason why, because you haven't gotten it yet, that it's not going to come to pass. He'll tell you every reason. He'll mention to you every person. He'll go down a list and tell you every person that failed with the same issue that you've got. Every name he could possibly think of, he'll run down a list. Why? Because he's trying to put an anchor in our soul. It's not a strong and trustworthy anchor. It may be strong, but it isn't trustworthy because the devil's a liar. So what do we do then is once we believe the word of God, once we get the word of God down in our spirits, then we have to renew our minds to line up with whatever it is that we know in our heart is true. And once we renew our minds to what the Word of God says, we have a trustworthy and strong anchor for our mind, will, and emotions, our soul. You see that? So we have to make sure then that we're not just allowing any thought to run around in our head. You know, when the scripture says this, it says taking every thought captive to the knowledge and the obedience of Christ. You notice it says take every thought captive. I learned a long time ago, because thoughts can come from lots of places, that I got to grab a hold of every thought and determine whether or not I want to allow it to change my position in life. Is this a thought that I want to embrace and receive and allow it to condition me to go in a particular direction? If it's not, I cast down those thoughts, those imaginations. Or if it's a thought that God is giving me from His Word, I take every thought captive and I say, what am I going to do with this thought? What am I going to allow this thought to do in my life? And those thoughts that line up with God's Word, I use them to help me stay anchored in my faith until I see the manifestation of what I'm believing God for. And I'm staying in faith. Again, now, don't get this confused. There are certain things that you don't have to wait for the manifestation of your salvation. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, we'll give an invitation. You can walk down and you can be changed in an instant. You don't have to wait for that. But there are some things that you and I will have to wait for the manifestation thereof. There are some things that you and I will have to spend some time and renew our minds and believe God and anchor our souls until the time comes. And that's what we see here with Abraham and Sarah. They didn't instantly have a baby. He wasn't instantly the father of many nations with regard to the number of children and mouths that he had to feed. Right? But he was expecting nonetheless, because God had made him a promise. And because God made him a promise, he had to do something with that. There were probably times where to them, it seemed like, how is this ever going to happen? I know, maybe you'll take my handmaid and I can help you out that way. We see what kind of problems that can cause. There are people who are believing God for a mate. And rather than wait for Mr. or Mrs. Right, they choose Mr. Right Now or Mrs. Right Now. Because they won't, you know, sometimes if you're going to believe big, you might have to stand long. Not necessarily always, but there may be times where you have to stand long. But the Bible is plain about that. It talks about through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Isn't that right? We patiently endure. We endure, we go through things, but we keep expecting that whatever God has said, if things in my life are not lined up right now, they're all subject to change based on what He's told me. Amen? Hope will hold you and I steady. Whenever we stand in faith, confident expectation, our hope will keep us grounded. It will keep us steady. It's the same as, you know, if I go fishing and I put out my anchor. Now, we weren't putting out an anchor, but we were trolling. But a similar situation. Pastor Angela, our children's pastor, her dad took me fishing. And really, it was some of the best fishing I ever did, because he knew exactly what he was doing. And I didn't really know, but I just had to listen to whatever he said to do. But he has, over the years, we went, anybody know what a paddlefish or a spoonbill fish is? Man, we caught a bunch of those. You say, how many? Too many to count. I know when I got out of there, my arms, which are, you know, extremely large and buff, were tired. Thank you for thinking that. I said to somebody, I was like, hey, man, do y'all need tickets to the gun show? And they said, it must be a small arms convention. I got tired of pulling in fish. But he has, over the years, gone fishing, and he's mapped out the weather patterns. At this time, with this temperature, I found the fish in this place. And with him, it was a science. It was cool to see. When we got down to the water, he said, well, you know, they may be here, but I don't know. The water temperature hadn't been quite right. They might not be here. If they're not here, they'll be, and he said, this other place. And sure enough, when they weren't at this place, we went over to this other place. And we weren't anchored, but the same concept, we were trolling to stay against the current in the same spot. When we got there and we put our lines down, man, I was catching some massive fish They were huge, like this big. No, sorry, just kidding. I just wanted to flex again. I don't know if I'll get the opportunity. Tons of fish. But the minute we drifted off of that spot, we stopped catching fish. And what happens is, oftentimes, we will be in faith and we'll be on the spot. But we'll allow our soul to start to drift. And all of a sudden, we're not expecting like we were before. And we just slowly move off the position. Eventually, you can do that so far that you'll allow yourself to get out of faith and just abandon your faith and stop believing. But you know, if we just move the boat back over and put our anchor down in faith and just hold it steady, if God said it, because he cannot lie, it's going to come to pass. Whatever he said to you, you didn't see it last year. The calendar changed, but God didn't. He's the same. Amen. It's true, none of us like to wait. Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But that's an observation. That's not a position that you're told to be in. The observation is that your hope deferred can make the heart sick. You wait a while, and pretty soon you start getting discouraged. But we have to stir ourselves up. We have to encourage ourselves in the Word. What did God promise me? How can we do that? We can remind ourselves of how faithful he was in the past. How many times he's brought us through. How he doesn't change. And if he did it before. If you're dealing with something in your life, a financial need, and it seems like it's gone on a long time, begin to meditate on other times where you had that same type of need in your life and he met that need. Talk to people. I used to tell people when they were dealing with physical illness in their body, I'd be like, now, here's what I don't want you to do. We're gonna get you in a position of faith. We're going to believe God together. Do not go on the internet and Google how much time you got left. If you're going to Google something, search for people who had X, Y, Z and lived. Miracle stories. Innovation in medical, whatever it is, but don't go to the negative because you're trying to anchor yourself in the fact that you believe that Jesus is your healer. And you don't want to allow thoughts that the enemy brings to pull you off of that. Amen? Why? Because healing belongs to you now because Jesus paid the price for it. I remember there have been so many times over the years where God has provided things for me. And man, it seemed like that one in particular was coming here. Now, many of you have heard me tell the story about how I had it in my heart to come here for years. The Lord spoke to my heart, not audibly, wasn't anything, you know. I was just walking outside praying. Sarah, I think, was practicing for choir, and I was walking out on the property, and the Lord spoke to my heart and told me I'd be back here one day, and I just held on to that. But, you know, over the years, we've been back here now about 3 years, 3 years? So we've been here 3 years. Well, I graduated in 2006. Well, that's, how many of you know that's some time that passed? Well, during that time, there were some times where I allowed myself to get so discouraged that I would even say, maybe I've just been chasing a pipe dream. Maybe I didn't hear from God. Maybe that wasn't him. Maybe he didn't tell me that. And you know what? The devil was right there to tell me, yeah, he didn't. Shut up. Can I say shut up to the devil? I got to make sure. My wife didn't let me say shut up. So hush, devil. See, that doesn't sound tough enough. Shut up, devil. That's what you say. Telling me, yeah, you're not going to make it. If you start thinking that you're not going to make it, he'll side with you every time. You start talking victory, he's not going to be patting you on your shoulder. That's it, boy, you got it this time. No, that's not how the devil operates. He's going to tell you that you're not going to make it, but he's a liar. Just because time passes, just because a clock is ticking by, is no indicator that God's word isn't true. 12 o'clock midnight doesn't strike and the carriage turns to a pumpkin with God. Things get better. I remember another time we did eventually get here. It took us some time. Some of it was my fault. Some of it was because I wasn't ready when I thought I was ready. There was some time. Preparation time, you've heard this before, is never wasted. We just keep believing God. Amen. Here, I'll tell you a fun story real quick. I'm running out of time. There was a time that I used to tell Sarah all the time I wanted a motorcycle. Because I thought, you know, arms like this, you'd look good on a bike. I knew I'd get it in there again, Brother Brian. I knew I'd get it in there. I used to tell her all the time, I want a motorcycle. I think I'm going to get a motorcycle. I'm going to get a motorcycle. That's what I'm going to do. She finally told me one day, you know, we had three kids and they liked their hobbies, baseball and cheer and academics. I say I had two athletes and a mathlete. And so they all had stuff that we would do. And she said, if you're going to get a motorcycle, you're going to have to believe God for it. And I thought, well, you know, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And I started, I'd never put my faith on something like that. But I put my faith on it. And one of the things that I did was every time we'd be driving down the road and every time a motorcycle would go by, I would tell her, I'd say, that could be my motorcycle. Because I was expecting at any moment that the motorcycle that I was believing God for, now I've since gotten rid of it. I got here in the Lord. Here's a side journey real quick. I'll tell you this. I was driving down the road crying one day because I did get a motorcycle. I'm crying. I'm like, Lord, this is too good. Now it just seems frivolous that I even asked for it. But he said, son, he said, just in my heart, he said, never ask me for anything that you wouldn't give up for me. Yeah. So I got here and he told me I had to get rid of it. It was time. So I did. But I'm believing God and I'm saying this could be my motorcycle. That could be my motorcycle. Kicked a guy off of his one time. No, I'm just kidding. I did not. That was a thought the devil gave me. And I was like, no, hush. I kept saying it, kept believing it. One day I was in my office at the church and somebody came in and handed me a card after service and said, hey, I wanted to give you something. It was my birthday. I just turned 40. I know you're thinking I'm barely over that now. I wanted to give you something for your birthday. And normally, you know, get a gift card or something like that. I was like, thank you so much. I could feel it had, I could tell it had something in it. I said, thank you so much. And I was just going to put it down on my desk because, you know, it's awkward. You open it in front of somebody and all that. And he goes, I want you to open it now. And so I opened it and it was three pictures of this motorcycle that if I could have went and picked one out, it would have been the one I picked out. And he said, it's yours. When do you want me to deliver it? And I'm real spiritual. I went, is today too soon? He brought it to my house that day. And then later, again, like I said, I was driving down the road just trying to wrap my head around that. But I didn't get it overnight. I didn't wake up and it was out there in the front yard. It was something that required me to stand and believe God for, expecting as he moved on somebody's heart that ended up doing that to be a blessing to me, right? Now, I don't have one now and don't want one. It was fun for a time. It almost, again, like I said, it almost seemed frivolous, but that's how much that God, his word said that he'll give you the desires of your heart. I stood on his word and believed him and just took him at his word. Well, what's the desire of your heart? If he's called you into ministry, being here, serving along with Pastor Craig and Pastor Denise and the pastoral staff, and being a part of this church and being a part of this Rhema family and being here with you guys tonight, this kind of stuff, this was a desire that the Lord had placed in my heart years ago. What an honor to be here with all of you people, faithful people that have come here and trained or been here to help us train other people and to show them what it's like to go to a good, solid church. What a great group of people. What if I would have just pulled up anchor and given that up? But God placed that in my heart. And if he tells you something, then you can stand in faith on it. And once you stand in faith on it, drop your anchor and begin to renew your mind. And you stay anchored to that thing and you just keep expecting until you see it come to pass. Because if God gave you a word, if he spoke something to your heart, he will bring it to pass. Know that you know that God has told you something. Find it in his word. Get a rhema word, a living word. It won't go crossways of the Bible. But you get that word, and you once you get it registered in your heart, you stand on that like a dog with a bone. You spend time meditating on that, renewing your mind when the devil says that it's not going to happen. And you grab it by faith, and you hold on to it with a confident expectation that says, nobody can take this from me. God has spoken it, and it will come to pass. And go ahead and call me Abraham. Though I got no kids right now, I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations, not because I don't see no kids. I don't even need a station wagon. But you will. And I look in this room, and there are people that are a part of that promise that God made to Abraham. Faces he never even saw. But won't God do it? Stand in faith. But get anchored in your soul. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to pray together. Father, as we go into this season, this new year, there may be people that are here tonight that, Lord, they've been believing you for a long time. Maybe they've grown weary. Maybe they've grown tired in their minds. But I thank you, Lord, that tonight, there's a renewed zeal that the things that you've promised them, they will come to pass. And they're not going to let go. They're going to stay anchored in your word. The word that they've heard. By your spirit, those things that you've spoken to them, the promise that you've made, oh, yeah. They're going to stand strong. They're going to stand wrong. They're going to stand long. Strong and long. Strong and long. Glory to God. Oh, Lord, yeah, yeah. They're going to stand strong and long. And my God is faithful will be their heart's song. Yeah. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to hearts tonight by your Holy Spirit, reminding them of those things that you've promised to individuals, to families. Those things that you've spoken to them maybe weeks, months, maybe years ago. That if they've let those things go, that, Lord, they're going to drop anchor. They're going to move back into that position of faith, and they're going to drop anchor. And they're going to stay until they receive what you've promised them. We give you praise for your faithfulness tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give a quick invitation. I know I went a couple minutes over, if you'll forgive me for that. But if you're watching online and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You can call on him right now and he will change your life. You can just say, Jesus, come into my life. Father, forgive me. I receive Jesus as my Lord. I receive him as my Savior. And when you do that, your life will be changed in an instant. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, our altar care team is going to come down. If you don't know Jesus, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You need to rededicate your life, or you need somebody to agree with you in prayer. When the rest of us exit out these doors, I want you to come down this way. We just asked that the ladies would come to the ladies, the men would come to the men. But don't leave here without, if you need somebody to believe God with you for something, don't leave here without taking the opportunity to have somebody agree with you in prayer. We love you and we appreciate you. Be here. It is Sunday night, so be here for Hour of Power on Wednesday. Love on your church family before you leave. We love you and appreciate you. God bless you. Is there anything else, Pastor Tad, Pastor Greg? God bless you. Have a great evening.